This is the January 2013 Grillo Health Information presentation on resiliency. Here is the 15-minute talk by licensed social worker Tom McSheeny. His topic is Raising Resilient Children.
Well, welcome. My name is Tom McSheeny, and I'm going to be talking about raising resilient children. First of all, I want to remind you that we're all strong, and we have a core inner strength. All of you sitting here have persevered through a lot of challenges, and you're a testimony to your own resilience, the fact that you're here. And we sometimes can forget that core inner strength that we all have. You know, life is going to present challenges to children, and they're really a gift. The key for children is to have the support of adults, parents, teachers, coaches that really are present with them and allow them to go through that process and that challenge so they can get the strength from it. What I'm going to ask you to orient to tonight is a couple things in practice. This is a practice, and sometimes it's a lifelong practice. It takes a lot of commitment and work, but it's to tune into two things: your body sensations and your emotions. And first of all, just check in with your body right now. It might be a racing heart. Maybe it might be butterflies in your stomach. But just notice what you're feeling in your body right now. And now, tune into what you're feeling. Six primary feelings: happy and sad, scared and love, angry and hurt. Just tune into what you're feeling. And there is no right emotion in any one moment. Whatever you're feeling is the right emotion. And so while you're listening to me tonight, try to see if you can toggle between listening to me and also going back to your body and tuning into what your body's telling you in terms of sensations and emotions. And I'll get to the reason why this is so important with children and resilience. First of all, tonight, the focus is children develop resiliency through quality connection with parents and other adults. Quality connection is based on quality communication and in tuning into the three languages of children's brains. How do you create a quality connection or attunement with a child? Presence, attunement. It's the willingness to feel, to be in your body, body sensations and emotions. It's also, presence is a willingness to wade into the water of emotion. Children crave and need adults who are willing to go into that world. Children are feeling beings, they're very emotional beings, and they're trying to learn how to manage it and grapple with it. And they so need adults who are willing to sort of hold their hand and go into the water. Children also really need an accurate mirror, because that's how they learn about their inner worlds, and that's how they learn to grapple with emotion, manage it, and self-soothe. It's in the reflection that's seen in your face and in your body. I want to remind you that 90% of communication is nonverbal. We often think our words are really, really important, and they do. They have value. But it's what you're expressing through your body, through your face, through your tone of voice, through your eyes, that's so important. And babies, you know that all too well, how they orient towards the face and the eyes. So a few reminders about presence. A large percentage of communication is nonverbal. Your presence is more important than the words. Nonverbal is the facial expressions, the body language, the tone of voice, and touch. And you are more present when you are in touch with your emotions and physical sensations and in your body. So children will set you up to feel what they feel. Adults will do the same. And it's a matter of physics and how emotion works, is that if you're really present in a room, you can actually pick up what people are feeling. Waves of energy. And for children, they crave this sense that adults are going to feel what they feel and mirror it back and be fully present. Because again, that's how they learn to feel. Adults and all of us and children are different size containers. The container is the capacity to feel emotions, to feel sensations, and to move it through your body, to self-soothe, and to move that energy or hold it in some way. Children's containers are very small. The amount of body sensations and emotions before they fill up, and they either become very hyper or hypo, sort of depressed or very agitated, is very small. And how they kind of ground themselves and manage that emotion is through adults. And their container expands. The more they feel and tolerate emotion, the more their container expands through life. Let's take a look at the brain. First of all, there's three levels. The first one is the brainstem, and it has to do with safety, security, and survival. How does it speak to you, the brainstem? It speaks through body sensations, racing heart, butterflies in your stomach. The second critical area, right in the heart of the brain, is the limbic system. It's what drives all of us. The emotion, motivation. It speaks through emotions and memories. The last part, which is critical, is the frontal cortex. And this part of the brain speaks through words. And it's the place where we think, we analyze, and we self-reflect. It's the area that we're trying to develop in children, is that frontal cortex. That's where they learn to manage emotion, self-soothe, grapple with things. So the three levels are the three languages are what you really need if you're going to have a really be fully present with a child, where they feel your presence and you actually affect their nervous system. Another thing to know is the right and left side of the brain, in which you use more. Ideally, to be fully present with a child and really helping them through a tough situation, you have to use both sides of your brain. Connection or attunement is created by using both sides of the brain. The left is very logical. That's where language is. That's where we give expression to emotion. But the right side is more intuitive and emotional. And so the left side has no connections to the body. So the right side has all the connections to the body. So it's connected to emotions and sensations. Often children are very emotional. Adults are very logical. But if adults can't join children in a world of the emotional, there's a lot of battles and clashes, and children don't feel the sense of connection to an adult. So just let's check in right now. What's your body saying? Body sensations, or your brain saying? What's it saying to you? What are you noticing in your body? How about emotions? Which one are you feeling right now? Emotions are meant to move. Just keep track of that. I want to show you a couple quick examples of resiliency. This first one is someone who has paralysis and he paints with his head. Whoop, I'm sorry, I went wrong. I want you right now to practice a little bit. So when you look at this child, the first thing I want you to do is tune into your own body. Notice your sensations and notice your emotions when you look at her. And again, to make a deep connection, you have to be present in your own body to connect deeply with the child. So definitely some anxiety, some fear, and where you feel that in your body is up to you. Next child, when you look at her and you focus on her eyes, probably a lot of hurt and anger in her eyes. And again, just tune into your body and what do you notice in your body and what do you feel? And finally, when you look at this young boy, what do you notice? What are you feeling in your body? Sensations, emotions. And if you're going to try to be with him, it's not so much the words you say to him, but the ability to be with him in that emotion that kids that matter most to them. And that's what helps them feel what they need to feel and develop the capacity to do it, is when an adult's willing to go into the water with them. My next example is Abe Lincoln. This is Abe's road to the White House. Failed in business in 1831, defeated for legislature in 1832. Second business failed in 1833. Suffered a nervous breakdown in 1836. Defeated for speaker in 1838. Defeated for lector in 1840. Defeated for Congress in 1843. You'd think he, at some point, he'd say, politics is not for me. He keeps at it, defeated for Congress in 1848, defeated for Senate in 1855, defeated for Vice President in 1856, defeated for Senate in 1858, elected President in 1860. That's perseverance, that's resilience. Key question, what factors help a child to become resilient? Being present, being in amongst adults who are being a very accurate mirror, support to feel uncomfortable emotions, move through them, and then problem solve, emotion coaching. There's something I want to say about presence, and when you're with someone, and I've been on both sides of it, that when you're with someone who's really there with you with no agenda to change you and no agenda to fix you, but totally be willing to feel what you feel, and you see it in their eyes, and you feel it in their body, helps you to find within you the strength that you know you have inside. And it's huge. And I'm sure all of you have experienced an adult who's been present with you with no agenda, but just to be there with you. And don't underestimate that power. It's truly transformative for a child. Encouragement with courage. Believe that your child was resilient and strong. That sense, and truly every child is strong. Every child is strong. Focusing on strengths or areas of intelligence. Schools focus on 3 areas of intelligence when there's 8 or more ways to show intelligence. We really limit our sort of view of child and how great they are. Acknowledging and reminding children of their strengths. Relaxation is huge. Letting go of what you cannot change. And of course, exploring faith and trust. Children are going to look to you, and again, being present and being authentic. And it means just telling the truth to children. You don't have to, sometimes saying, I'm having trouble feeling, or it's hard to feel sad, but here I am with you, means a lot to a child. It's not about being a perfect parent. It's a good enough parent. You're going to go away a lot. I do sometimes. The key is to keep coming back and to keep trying to expand your time that you're present with a child and see what they have to teach you. They're going to mirror back to you challenges and where you need to grow. And again, tune into your body sensations and your emotions to be fully present. I often think of resilience in helping children as being a doula who helps a pregnant woman go through a birth. And I see kids have tons of opportunities to have little births throughout their life. And the key is, do they have a doula encouraging them to go through that pain or sadness or anger or hurt and know they can handle it and know they can feel it and they'll come out stronger? The key is that doula. And all of you, whether you're a grandparent or a coach or a teacher or a parent, are doulas. And this sense of going through a birth, a couple of colleagues of mine, and that sense of going through it with the help of a doula, and then coming out with the resilience and a beautiful baby. Emotion coaching by John Gottman, it's pretty simple, but not easy to do, is being aware of a child's emotions and be aware of your own and your physical sensations. Recognize emotional expression as an opportunity for intimacy and teaching. The hardest moments are the best moments for social-emotional intelligence. Listen empathetically and validate a child's feelings. It's a way to self-soothe them. Label emotions into words a child can understand. And then after a child learns to feel and go through the wave of emotion, then you can problem solve. You help a child to come up with an appropriate way to solve a problem or deal with an upsetting issue or situation. What are the challenges to resiliency? There are things you already know: pain, fear and anxiety, lack of support, no doula, over-attachment, being too close. You can be too close to a child, and you can also be too far away under attachment. Lack of awareness of strengths, you're just not feeling valued. Beliefs, I can't do this, this is too hard. And finally, old trauma. And trauma is a tricky one. Having gone through a broken tooth this week and kind of reactivating old trauma. I'm very humble and, you know, and feel a tenderness towards folks going through trauma, because it requires a special support and a special vigilance, because it's not easy. It's not easy. Activities that foster resiliency. This is my favorite idea. And having lost my dad at 13, I would have given anything for a resiliency journal. And this is a notebook you can stick in your near your bed. And every day write one thing down that you saw your child display, whether it's courage or whether it's getting up at school when they were scared, or going to school when they're anxious about a test, or showing kindness, but some sense of strength or resilience or kindness or courage. Write down one thing every day your child displays, and then on their birthday, give it to them. And it's a gift, a birthday gift. Boy, if I had a resiliency journal for my dad, oh my goodness. And then they can read it over and over again, be reminded of actually how strong they are and how much they persevere through tough things. Emotion coaching, be a doula, be willing to feel and be in it with your children. Paying attention to your beliefs and attitudes. Remember, support, not overprotection. Don't take away children's pain or their challenges. They're there to support them and to help them grow. Self-talk, you know, develop that language. I can do this. Speak out loud in front of your children. You know, I can do this. I can handle it. I'll keep trying. Seeing challenges as opportunities and gifts. They truly are. They're not easy, but they are gifts. Identify your strengths in your family. Discuss them and acknowledge them, or areas of intelligence, where you're strong, where you need to grow. Praise efforts. No global comments, meaning always praise children specific. Don't say, you're such a great child, you're always courageous. Pinpoint the behavior or their actions. Have fun, create joyful, nourishing activities. It's huge for resiliency. Create support for yourself. And finally, read and discuss characters and books with stories that exemplify resilience. Couple of last things before we end. First of all, you have a choice to fix or change your child, or wade into the water with them. And again, it's not about being perfection in it. It's just about being honest. If it's hard to feel, be truthful with children. They respect that. And just know you're growing with them. Again, remember that you're being a mirror. Be an accurate, authentic mirror. It helps the child to learn about their inner worlds. They learn through your eyes. What are the gifts of each challenge? What are the gifts? And write them down with your child, the benefits of going through what they're going through. Again, tune into your body sensations and emotions off and on, and maybe do a self-care activity. That awareness will affect your child, just that. Speak out loud to the universe once in a while during stressful times and say, I'm late for my meeting. I notice my heart is racing, body sensations. And I'm feeling scared, emotions, and I'm going to take some deep breaths, self-care. Just doing that out loud, you've modeled to your children how to feel and be in their body and deal with something. It also makes them self-reflect, because you reflect it out loud. Keep a resiliency journal for your child for 1 year. Practice a relaxation technique. An easy one is belly breathing, but another one is to breathe in 5 seconds, breathe out 5 seconds, and pause for 5 seconds. That resets the nervous system between the parasympathetic and the sympathetic. And focus on times when your child and you felt strong and do some tapping. And finally, I'm gonna end on this tonight. You know, I used to be a teacher and then I became a therapist and I combined them in my classroom. But I paired up my fourth grade students with first grade students, learning buddies, and they performed on stage around the holiday time. They researched something, and then they took an area of intelligence and displayed what they learned through on stage. And this one student, who's a first grade student, was terrified. She researched wild cats, and she wanted to dance, but she was terrified, and her teacher was trying to encourage her anywhere. And all of a sudden, the audience started clapping for her, and she looked at him like this, like, whoa. It's almost like, I believe in you. You can do this. She got out on the stage, and I'll show you just 30 seconds. And then afterwards, she watched the videotape every day at home, almost like she was going back through her fear and seeing how she mastered it. And then my colleague got a note from her 7 years later, and she had the lead in the eighth grade play. A true example of resiliency, facing fear, getting support like a doula, and moving through it, and she mastered and she came out stronger. I want to remind you all that we all are strong, and you all have a core inner strength that's with you right now. And there's some great resources, just, John Gottman's book, Daniel Siegel, just a couple names of people, Linda Lanateri, Heather Forbes, Peter Levine, and I too have a book. All of these are great books, and maybe somehow we can get them to you show them to you through the Grillo Center. Well, I thank you for your time.
This program was recorded by me, Shelley Schlender, on behalf of KGNU and the Grillo Center. The music is by Boulder's Little Lights Children's Choir. You can hear more of these programs, find hot links to the experts, and see video highlights by going to the website eatyourradio.org. Click on the Community tab and look for Grillo.